If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man. You're walking on the fighting side, me. The guy who claims he just don't believe in fight. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count and be free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You run down my country, man. You walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down with life, I'm fighting in the fog of dark keep. If you don't love it, leave it. But this song I'm singing be warned. And you run down my country, man, you walking on the fighting side of me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's the name of this program here on White Resistance Radio. Well, lots more news and views for our people, and those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia, New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Well, this is Paul Fromm. Oh, excuse me, and you're on the fighting side of me. Well, I've got some kind of interesting items today. and I'm going to get to them. in just a moment. Well, here, wouldn't you know, the ADL, or Anti-Defamation League, is complaining again. We have to be very clear who our enemies are, and if you believe in freedom of speech, groups like the ADL, or Anti-Defamation League, are your mortal enemy, for the very good reason that they don't believe in freedom of speech. Well, they do, for themselves, of course, but not for you and me. And here is a statement they put out just recently, and it even mentions me and some other people. I'm not going to read all of it, because it's quite a long list. But and it starts off with... an analysis of ADL's Center on Extremism found that a significant number of channels on YouTube's platform continue to disseminate anti-Semitic and white supremacist content despite the company's June 2019 crackdown on hate speech. So, apparently, according to the ADL, you should not be allowed to disseminate your views if you are anti-Semitic, well, whatever that is. So that would be critical of Jews, I suppose. Or of Israel. Or white supremacists. Again, what is that? For years, YouTube has officially prohibited content which promoted or condoned violence or incited hatred against individuals based on core characteristics such as ethnicity, gender, sexual identity, and religion. In 2019, it updated that policy with specific prohibitions against ideologies like white supremacism, which asserted the superiority of one group in order to justify discrimination against another one. Gee, I wonder why they allow any promotion of the State of Israel then. Zionism is by definition racist and discriminatory. That's okay, I guess. So. Notice how sneakily they shift from promotion of violence. See, the policy was originally critical or prohibited sites which promoted or condoned violence. Promoted, fair enough. Under Canadian law, that would already be illegal, generally. But condone violence. Well, yeah, again, what does that mean? Condone violence. What about, and of course this wouldn't be prohibited, people writing that the Palestinians deserve to be shot down by Israeli soldiers. Even if they're peaceful protesters, because fill in your reasons. Okay, that's not promoting promoting violence directly, but it would be condoning it. Would that be permitted? Well, of course, because it's Israel, that'd be all right. And then, of course, we slide very quickly from promoting or condoning violence to inciting hatred against individuals because of certain characteristics. Hatred. So, of course, in the way these people define things, hatred is criticism. So if you criticize Israel, you criticize third world immigration, well then that's hatred. Okay. Well, then, back in June, we covered this extensively. The policy was further expanded to outlaw certain ideologies, and at that point, the Silicon Valley censors showed their hand quite clearly. It wasn't about hate; it was about an ideology. So, if they could label you a white supremacist, then that was it. I believe Facebook then went even further. White supremacy, white nationalism, well, they're all terrorists. They're out too. The 2019 policy also added that it prohibited content which denied violent events like the Holocaust or certain mass shootings. Now, there are people who believe that a number of the shootings that have occurred, like Sandy Hook and so on, are false flag operations and did not happen. Now, I'm personally not persuaded by that. I'm not one of those who challenges that these events didn't happen, but some do. But then this is another thing. People who deny violent events like the Holocaust. Well, that's a historical point of view and a historical argument. What is denying the Holocaust? Well, denying the Holocaust is any questioning of the Hollywood version of World War II. And it's very, very fluid, so-called Holocaust denial. What would you have to say to deny the Holocaust? Well, you could, of course, say, I deny the Holocaust. you could. But what if you said, well, I don't deny that Jews died in the Second World War, and I don't deny that some Jews were killed, were murdered. But I don't believe that the true number was not 6 million, but more like what the Red Cross suggested at the very end of the war, and they had the best access to the detention camps. They suggested that the true figure was something like 270,000. Okay, well, and that was Jews who died in the camps from all causes. Some were executed, no doubt. Some died of old age. Some died of various diseases. And in some camps near the end of the war, as infrastructure was being destroyed, as food was in very, very short supply for the civilian population, deprivation occurred at some camps, like the one where Anne Frank died, and disease spread, like typhus, and people died. So this is not to say that that nobody died, but that the standard arguments, the standard figures were wildly exaggerated. Now, is that Holocaust denial? Well, I would think the Jewish lobby would say it is. It's one of these terms that is so fluid that it can be applied wherever they want. It's whatever they say it is. Okay, so YouTube had banned all this. Anyway, and we're still at the beginning of the ADL statement. This move alone is insufficient and must be followed by many more changes from YouTube and other tech companies to adequately counter the scourge of online hate and extremism, says the ADL. Online hate and extremism. You see, it's all, of course, aimed at what you might consider the right. Following the June 2019, it appeared the YouTube had taken steps to remove offending content from its service. So, you know, let's never, and please always make sure any time you discuss this type of thing, you make it quite clear. When you hear, oh, we live in a free country, you say, oh, no, we don't. No, we don't. we do not live in a free country. And point to this, and in the United States, many of the biggest culprits are these Silicon Valley tech giants, who are the willing tools of Zionist censorship. Okay. So following the June 2019 announcement, it appeared that YouTube was taking steps to remove offending content from its service, and several channels that were noteworthy vectors for the dissemination of anti-Semitism appeared to have been shut down. However, subsequent analysis from the ADL Center on Extremism, that's that means criticism of Jews, or the invasion of the third world, replacement, immigration replacement policies of many Western countries. They found that significant anti-Semitic and white supremacist content continues to be accessible on YouTube even after the policy. As of July 22nd, now, these are some of the things they're complaining about. I'm not going to read all of these, but anti-Semitic channels. The following five anti-Semitic channels promulgate a variety of allegations and tropes. which have been used for generations to stoke fear and hatred of Jews. Well, whatever. My only question is, are they true? Some of them are overtly Christian. Oh boy, can't have that, can you? Including claims that Jews are aligned with the Antichrist. That they are a blasphemous and evil synagogue of Satan. Well, that's what the Bible says. that term synagogue of Satan comes from the Bible. The Jews are aligned with the Antichrist, but that's a religious belief. You can't prove that, but it's a belief. Or they seek to undermine Christian society. Well, organized Jewish groups that have campaigned against public displays for Christmas and so on. Yes, of course. Yeah, that's true. Other anti-Semitic allegations are secular in nature and promote the belief that Jews are secret conspirators who control the media. Well, that's a fair deal of evidence that Jews have, let's say, a disproportionate control of the media. And see, what else? Control academia, finance. There's a disproportionate Jewish presence in academia. Control, that may be a little strong, but... and governments to the detriment of non-Jews. Well, definitely, the excessive Jewish control of at least foreign affairs in the United States through outfits like the America-Israel Political Action Committee, or AIPAC, in my opinion, is extremely detrimental to the United States. United States foreign policy in the Middle East has for decades been directed by the Zionist lobby. Although Jews constitute only 2% of the American population of the United States, and although by no means all Jews are Zionists, the tremendous economic power of the Zionist lobby, the ability to turn the media dogs on a recalcitrant politician who doesn't back Israel sufficiently, is quite, and of course, the economic power to support friendly politicians and to undermine unfriendly politicians, either by funding their opponents on election day or funding challengers in the primaries, has beaten the American political establishment of both parties almost unanimously into line. There are a few exceptions. Nobody with any familiarity of politics in the United States, especially politics on the federal level, would deny the tremendous power of the Zionist lobby. And unless you believe that a lopsided policy in favor of this tiny state of largely non-Palestinians who have invaded Palestine, seized control, expelled many of the Palestinians, unless you believe that the unquestioning support for that is in America's interest, and not the Jews' interest, in America's interest, then indeed the allegation that Jews are secret conspirators who control governments to the detriment of non-Jews. Well, control is perhaps a bit of an overstatement. Belief that Jews control the levers of power in societies has been a crucial element of anti-Semitic conspiracy theories throughout modern times. My only question is it true? If it's not true, say these allegations are bunk. They're nonsense for these reasons, and lay down the reasons. That's all you have to do. Why must these things, must such views, be stifled? Well, and of course, the interesting thing is the Anti-Defamation League is monitoring how well the media giants do their bidding. And yet, if you say, well, Jewish groups have a good deal of support, a good deal of power, you're anti-Semitic. Never mind the label. All I want to know is it true? So belief that Jews control the levers of power in societies has been a crucial element in anti-Semitic theories. All right. Then, altogether, the following five anti-Semitic channels have been viewed more than 81 million times. Note the white supremacist channels enumerated in the following section also contain anti-Semitic elements. Anyway, well, what are the anti-Jewish, they list five, and I'm not going to go through all of them, but, okay. E. Michael Jones, longtime anti-Semite and traditionalist Catholic writer, E. Michael Jones, uses his YouTube channel and books to promote the idea that Jews are responsible for perpetuating attacks against the Catholic Church. That's true. As well as against standards, social stability, and global political order. He portrays Judaism as inherently threatening toward Christianity. He also describes Jews as outlaws and subversives, and claims that Judaism exhibits a particularly malignant spirit. And it says here that his YouTube channel has 37,000 subscribers and 3.5 million views. And this is a quote from E. Michael Jones. And you want to talk about who's responsible for redefining speech to include pornography? It's the Jews. Well, breaking down of anti-pornography laws was very largely accomplished to facilitate some of the stuff being produced in Hollywood, which is mostly produced by Jews. I would say E. Michael Jones' statement is demonstrably correct. Well, and he goes on to say, because they were the ones in the industry, and they were the ones who benefit financially from this. But anyway, these are other quotations from E. Michael Jones. Money runs the entire Congress of the United States, and largely Jewish money. When it comes to foreign policy, AIPAC controls the American Congress. There's no question. Congress is controlled by Jewish money, at least on the Middle East foreign policy, I would add. This was a quote from Michael Jones. Anyway, so that's one channel they hate. Michael Hoffman. Michael A. Hoffman the second is a Holocaust denier and an anti-Semitic ideologue. Well, there again, that blanket term, Holocaust denier. He questioned some of the mainstays of the Hollywood version of World War II. In his writings and speeches, Hoffman frequently claims that Judaism condones pedophilia. Well, it is in the Talmud, you know. And hatred of non-Jews. Hoffman's YouTube channel has 3,600 subscribers and 178,000 views. Then another channel they don't like is Brother Nathaniel. This YouTube channel features videos of Nathaniel Kapner, a former Jew who converted to the Russian Orthodox faith and is now a street evangelist and anti-Semitic provocateur. In other words, preacher. Kapner's videos typically intersperse his conspiratorial anti-Semitic rhetoric with clips and images from other media. The channel has 86,000 views. This is a quotation from Brother Nathaniel. The future belongs to the sons of God, not the synagogue. Those who serve a lie will soon pass away. Well, you know, these are religious views. You know, one may agree, may disagree. I haven't ticked off all five of them, but just to give you a flavor. White supremacist channels. Anti-Semitism is just one iteration of the hate that's easily accessible on YouTube. See how we morph from a criticism, anti-Semitism, to hate. So if you don't, if you criticize the Jews in any substantial way, that's anti-Semitic and that's hate. The following channels are run by or feature white supremacists, many of whom use the platform to spread their racist, misogynist, and anti-Semitic ideology. So all lumped together. I might say that of the people they tick off, the ones that I know of, none of them would describe themselves as anti-Semitic. So let's just take a couple of them. American Free Press. This channel is described as one maintained by a supporter of the American Free Press, the only true pro-American newspaper left in the country. That's his own self-description. American Free Press is a Maryland-based anti-Semitic conspiracy-oriented publication that was originally founded by the late Willis Carto. Okay. The American Freedom Party. Oh, I'm involved with that. The American Freedom Party is a third position a political party that promotes white nationalism. Originally established by racist skinheads, the group was later transformed into a political party by William Daniel Johnson, a Los Angeles-based attorney. Since 2018, the American Freedom Party has co-hosted an annual white supremacist conference dubbed National Solution, Nationalist Solutions. Now, I am a strong supporter of the American Freedom Party, and we do not describe ourselves as white supremacist. American Renaissance. American Renaissance is a white supremacist journal and companion website to the New Century Foundation, a self-styled think tank founded by Jared Taylor. Well, I've known Jared going back to the early 90s. He does not describe himself. He does not describe American Renaissance or the New Century Foundation as white supremacists. He would say they are race realists. The journal promotes pseudo-scientific studies that attempt to demonstrate the intellectual and cultural superiority of whites and publishes articles on the supposed decline of American society because of integrationist social policies. American Renaissance generally avoids the crude bigotry and stereotyping characteristic of many other racist publications, and Taylor himself personally refrains from anti-Semitism. But they're still white supremacists. Oh, why is that? Because they say so? Oh, no, because ADL says so. I'm skipping over a few. Oh, here's a fellow Canadian. Faith J. Goldie. Faith J. Goldie is a Canadian white supremacist. Well, now, I've met Faith. I've read much of what she's written. And she does not describe herself as a white supremacist. But according to them, she promoted the white genocide narrative, recited the white supremacist 14 words on an alt-right podcast, and appeared on a podcast of the Daily Stormer run by neo-Nazi Andrew Anglin. Okay, let's cut through those words and try desperately to attempt to get to a fact or two. So she once used the 14 words. Once said them about a homeland of our own for our children. Now, those may be the 14 words. My only question is, are they wrong as a goal? Well, you could substitute the idea of a state for Jews to build a future for their children. Oh, listen, that's Zionism. That's the state of Israel. That's something the overwhelming majority of elected members of both American political parties support. But that's okay for Jews, but for whites, that's bad. And she also appeared on the Daily Stormer, a site run by neo-Nazi Andrew Anglin. Again, I said, well, so what? As I've pointed out to a supporter who's trying to do some work for me online, refuting some of the nonsense that's spread about me, for having many years ago addressed a skinhead event in Toronto, where way in the corner there was a very small swastika. I didn't see it at the time, and the lyrics of the band that played long after my speech contained some pretty raw stuff, and some members of the audience gave the Roman salute. I didn't give the Roman salute. I didn't write the lyrics. I didn't sing the songs. I'm responsible for the speech I gave. But that's the sort of blind guilt by association. So anyway, that's the knock on Faith Goldie. And let's see, scroll down a little bit further. I'm skipping over some people, but my gosh, I know this one. Daily Ken. Ken Daily. If that's wrong, it's Daily Ken, but is hosted by Ken Givenan of Indianapolis, Indiana, who's the founder of DailyKeen.com. And that's actually not exactly accurate. They don't give you the exact URL. And the author of The Prayer of Hannah and Kenisms, a book of offensive racist quotes known as Ken's Laws. The channel includes The Ethno State, a recurring show hosted by Givenan, William Johnson of the American Freedom Party, and Paul Fromm, a Canadian white supremacist. These are among these so-called racist sites. Well, I don't describe myself as a white supremacist. So this is the boo-hoo-hooing of the ADL. I'm sorry, there are a couple more I should read. Red Ice TV. Red Ice TV is a Sweden-based online media company run by Lena Lochteff, an American-born white supremacist. She doesn't describe herself as that. And her husband, Henrik Palmgren. Red Ice features online TV and radio shows, including Lochteff's own Radio 314 that celebrates European identity and culture. Oh my God, you can't do that, can you? Lochteff has interviewed numerous white supremacists on the show. Well, what's the problem with interviewing people of any political background? She also co-hosts Red Ice Live and Weekend Warrior on Red Ice. In May 2017, Lochteff appeared in a video segment with Jared Taylor of American Renaissance to discuss women on the alt-right. Oh my gosh, our future is unsafe. TOQ Live, and that stands for the Occidental Quarterly. The Occidental Quarterly is a recurring show hosted by James Edwards, who runs the White Supremacist radio show. I know James, I've been on his show many times, The Political Cesspool, and Kevin McDonald, a retired professor who runs the anti-Semitic Occidental Observer website. And then finally, I've not read, I ticked off all of them, VDare TV. VDare TV often features Peter Brimmel, a white supremacist. Now I've known Peter going back to the late 70s. Peter would not describe himself as a white supremacist. He's a white supremacist who runs the racist anti-immigration site VDare. What's anti-immigration? Yes. Which publishes writing by white supremacists such as Jared Taylor, who would not call himself a white supremacist, Brad Griffin of the Occidental Dissent, and Unite the Right organizer Jason Kessler. Okay. I only go through these to show the malignity of the opponents of free speech. And they are. They are bitterly opposed to free speech and to free thought. Well, we're having a little bit of a crisis up here in the Dominion of Canada. Britain has done a dirty on us. Now, there's an individual who's known as Jihadi Jack. His real name is Jack Letts. And he's in his 20s, and he's currently being held in a detention camp in Syria by the Kurdish militia. He was captured as a jihadist working with ISIS, ISIL. Jack Latz, or they call him Jihadi Jack, was born in Britain and converted to Islam. He lived in Oxford much of his life, converted to Islam, and in 2014 went to the Middle East via Kuwait. He ended up in Syria and he joined up with ISIS. He said he had wanted to, he gave a number of TV interviews, and because of course he spoke good English, he said he had wanted to commit jihad by become a suicide martyr, but then he was captured. anyway. The dirty that the British government pulled, and this apparently was pulled by their Prime Minister, former Prime Minister Theresa May, just as she walked out of 10 Downing Street a couple weeks ago, is that Britain revoked Lett's British citizenship. And it was on this basis. Lett's father was a Canadian. And so Lett's has Canadian citizenship. So while by international convention, no country wants to leave a person stateless, that is, without citizenship anywhere. Britain, for whatever reason, maybe even self-defense, decided that it no longer wanted Mr. Lett's should he eventually come back from Syria. And that's what his parents have been agitating to do. In fact, his parents have actually faced charges in Canada for supporting terrorism because they shipped a small amount of money to Lett's. Junior, the jihadi Jack. Anyway, so he cannot go back to Britain because he no longer has British citizenship. His citizenship, his only citizenship now, because he was a dual citizenship citizen, is in Canada. So he's now Canadian. He now becomes our problem. Well, I laugh because our trust fund kid prime minister had famously to, I guess, poke his fingers in Donald Trump's eyes not very long after Trump made his statements about excluding Muslims from the United States early in 2017. Trudeau said, we welcome all the people of all races and religions who favor facing persecution or fleeing this or that. Well, of course, the Third World Street immediately buzzed into overdrive, and we have these hordes now exceeding 43,000 who have poured across the border illegally into Canada, to say nothing of those who made refugee claims legitimately, and we have a very high approval rate. But anyway, so having said, you know, we are the embodiment of a new M.L. Lazarus poem. You know, give us your huddled masses, your wretched, give us the detritus of the earth. So anyway, the Liberal government now has a hand grenade in its hand, and somebody's pulled out the pin. So they will be rightly questioned. Well, what's your policy now? Right now, Lett's is in a Syrian detention camp, having been captured as an ISIS, I rather ISIL, and actually they're interchangeable, but ISIL terrorist. So during the election, the Conservatives will quite legitimately ask again and again and again, well, what's the policy, Justin? Are we going to take him back? Well, officially, our policy is we want to welcome back former ISIS or Al-Qaeda fighters who are Canadian, and we want to help rehabilitate them and turn them around. That's a heady dream. First of all, many of them have not, in fact, changed their points of view. And even if they say they have, perhaps they really haven't. And to monitor these people, and this is a problem some European nations are facing so far more than Canada, but to monitor these people when they return will cost a king's ransom. It has been stated that to put 24-hour-a-day surveillance on somebody could take up to 26 people, 26 agents. You can just imagine the amount of manpower required for one person. I don't think there is an easy solution. And certainly the trust fund kid doesn't have it. And we're going to hear a lot more of this. And this goes back to our lame welcoming policy. And of course, also, it might be noted, and even one of the columnists in the National Post did so note, that once again, England, who for the last 1,000 years has been called by various European countries Perfide Albion, or Perfidious Albion, or basically lying, untrustworthy England. And they have on numerous occasions stabbed their allies in the back. Well, Canada supposedly, Britain supposedly our mother country, although Justin Trudeau would certainly never accept that. But it's certainly a NATO ally, it's the head of the Commonwealth, we're members of the Commonwealth, they've really done us a dirty. So Jihadi Jack, who has never lived in Canada, who was born and lived all his life in England, is going to be our problem, should he choose to come back from Iraq, if and when he's allowed out. Now the Kurds don't particularly want to keep Jihadi Jack and 2,000 other terrorists forever. They've made it clear that they would like, these are foreign terrorists, mostly from Europe, a few from America, and Australia and Canada. Oh yeah, the Americans, what's their policy? Well, when their citizens are returned to them, they are usually prosecuted for being members of a terrorist organization and being sent to jail. Perhaps we should announce the same thing. And perhaps people like Jihadi Jack, when they're released from the Kurdish prison, should seek shelter in other terrorist-supporting nations in the Middle East. I mean, you're a Muslim. I mean, that's what they took up Islam. Why should they expect to come back to our countries? They've made their choice. Well, this is Paul Tom. You're on the fighting side of me. I'm going to take my musical break right now. I'm going to play a few songs from a CD called Ulster Scots Folk Songs. And you'll recognize a number of these. Ulster Scots played a big role in the settlement of the United States and Canada to a certain extent, and Australia, and particularly in the United States and Appalachia. So here are some traditional Ulster Scots tunes and songs, and I know you'll recognize many of them.
end, we gave Peter her return.
But you wonder why I am so proud.
You wonder why I sing so loud.
Cause my Aunt Jane says to me,
no matter where you're going to be,
we're people true and proud.
So sing with pride and sing with love.
Northern Ireland! Northern Ireland!
Lumberjacks
From, and you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Well, back with you again tomorrow, same time, midnight Eastern time. The show is repeated at 8 in the morning and 4 in the afternoon. All of those are Eastern Standard Time. And I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf, forever. This is Paul From.
In days of yore, from Britain's shore, the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, and wine, the maple leaf forever. Dear, the maple leaf forever. Dundee's Lane. Our brave fathers, side by side, for freedom, homes, and loved ones dear, firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield them never. Our watchword evermore shall be the Maple Leaf forever. The Maple Leaf, our emblem dear, the Maple Leaf forever. God save our Queen and Heaven bless the Maple Leaf forever. Our fair dominion now extends from Cape Race to Nootka Sound. May peace forever be our lot and plenteous store abound. And may those ties of love be ours which discord cannot sever, and flourish green o'er freedom's home, the Maple Leaf.